Hey, Ricky T, I'm waiting on Rob.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right.
Yep, waiting on Rob.
All righty. I was just texting him, so he should be coming along.
You're gonna have to lose the
I
dog.
it's gonna happen.
Not a deal breaker for me.
We live on a cul-de-sac, and anytime anybody walks
I see.
I'll try to get him moved real quick here.
Okay, that's fine. Take your time.
Do I say? Come on. Come on. You're going to be quiet?
Hey Rob.
Hey Joe, how are you?
Good. Ricky T's dog was barking, so I asked him to move
Yeah,
I actually leave upstairs.
mine are
Are you
upstairs.
okay? I can't hear you, Ricky T. You're breaking up on me.
Can you hear me now?
No.
It sounds like you're in Battlestar
Yeah, precisely.
Can you hear me now?
No.
No, it's
That's
breaking up, bud.
worse. Yeah.
Did your wife move your stuff around again?
Now can you hear me?
Again? No. You
I'm
got
gonna
a
leave it.
mass. You got a
I'm gonna
massive
leave it to
echo.
come. I'm gonna leave it to come back.
Yep.
Okay. All right.
Well, at least I'm on.
Yeah, you're super clear.
Okay, good.
So.
He might have, he's had. Throughout the day, he's had a few interruptions, and I don't know if he's doing wireless earbuds or what, but I'm connected. I'm on wired, so.
Yeah, I swear by wires, so
Okay. And if it
yeah.
happens again, maybe we mention that to him and see.
Yeah.
Yeah, lots going on, work-wise.
Oh, yeah, I can believe it. I can believe it. I hear you. Yeah, I've been binge watching the Last Dance, so that's been excellent.
Yeah, well, good. Good, good,
Yeah.
good.
Yeah.
I got to see that from the bad end during those years because Reggie
Oh.
was always just one game away. One game away. Yeah.
Yeah, they had a scene of the All-Star game with, and of course Michael was the spotlight, but Reggie and Rick Smits was there, and
Yep.
it was kind of interesting.
He just sent a text. There he is.
Ground control to Major Ricky T. How are you?
You got me
Yep.
now?
Got you clear.
Do I sound any
Yep.
better at
Yes.
all?
Oh, you're totally much
You
better.
don't
Much
sound like a
better.
Cylon anymore.
That's funny.
Okay, hold on.
Right.
Okay.
Welcome, friends, to Indy's Local Flavor. I'm Joe Carney. Please make sure you visit my sponsors, and they'll treat you right. My buddy Josh Cones, if you're looking for a car. Make sure you take the time to drive down to the Greenwood area at Ray Skillman, or you can give them a call at 317-665-6559. If you're divorced, bankrupt, or looking for a new car, please give my buddy Josh Cones a call. Call him 317-665-6559. Also in the car realm, if you're looking for everybody needs a good mechanic, and my mechanic is Jones Family Auto. They're at 9909 East 46th Street. Call my buddy Johnny Black at 765-647-2825, or you can call Mike Jones at 317-888-8888. 897-7724. Once again, that's Joe's Family Auto. And I'm a regular at this restaurant. Last year I had my little birthday celebration there, Giacomo's Pizza. They've got three locations. The one that I go to is the one in Irvington. That number is 317-356-6612. Fort Bend, it's 317-986-4545. And in Greenwood, it's 317-883-8993. They do offer, you can dine in now, thank goodness. They're open 11 to 9 for carryout and delivery, and you can dine in now. Make sure you say hello to Katie, Liz, or Mike. And guys, you guys ever been to Giacomo's?
I have. I've been to the one in Greenwood. Very good.
Yeah, great restaurant. I like it a lot. For my birthday, I got the carrot cake. And what they do is their little twist on carrot cake is they put caramel on it and whipped cream. So
nice.
I guess we lost Ricky T. So, but we can... We can pick him up again. I want to say special thanks to everyone who listens here in America on Anchor Podcast, iTunes Podcast, iHeartRadio, Spotify, Blowhorn Podcast, and Player FM. Now heard worldwide. I want to say thank you so much to everybody listening. Everybody listening in England, Ireland, Germany, Australia, Botswana, Africa, Israel, Sweden, the Netherlands, and now I just found out right before going on, I'm just now heard in South Africa. I want to thank you so much for doing that for me. Also, one of my buddies in Chicago, they've got a website called Hope for the Day. Please visit my.hisinheraldevinsonfrankt.org. Rick Carmick's daughter, a BSU alumni by the name of Addie, has the courage to tell her story of her battle with mental illness. To shatter the silence in your community, you can make an impact. Make sure you visit my, H as in Harold, T as in Tango, F as in Frank, D as in Delta.org. It's okay not to be okay. Please donate to a great cause. Thank you. So, Ricky, are you with me? Ricky, can you hear me? Rob, are you still with me?
Yep, I'm still here.
Ricky, do you have are you connected by wires?
No.
No.
It's not connected at all.
Yeah. Well, he came on first, so that doesn't make any sense. So, okay, he says he can't do it. So, I guess it's just you and me.
Okay, I've got stuff. I've got a bunch of writer jokes I can tell.
Okay, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I wonder what happened there. So.
I know he's had connection issues, you know, with the other stuff today. You know, he and I talk a few times a day, and it's just not the day. You know, being work at home a lot, you have your good days and your bad days. I've had a couple of those over the last few months. So,
yeah, you want to do Madden?
Yeah, I can do Madden.
Okay.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I think it's kind of ironic that the guy who's on the cover for Madden 2021 doesn't have a perfect score. Lamar Jackson of the Baltimore Ravens only has a 94.
Yep. I noticed that too when I was looking at it. Actually, one of the things I wanted to start off with, and we may come back to it. There's a piece on NBC Sports Online, a guy by the name of Josh Schrock. And this piece was on July 14th of 2020. He did kind of a piece of this. And when I first started looking at it, I actually started off where he ended in this article. And basically, he's calling winners and losers of Madden 21, you know, whether or not you're a big fan of it or not, whether you follow it or not.
Right.
Basically, he says, first, let's acknowledge that you, the person who cares deeply about Madden rankings, isn't looking at this through an unbiased lens. Second, if it really bothers you, I suggest doing what I would do at age 8, going to your roster, edit your favorite players, make them super dope, and then just have fun destroying everybody. So, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, I tried taking it with a grain of salt. And as far as Lamar Jackson, some of the other things I had seen, I didn't realize it, but the last five covers, I went back and I looked at the last five covers. We had Richard Sherman. We had Gronk.
Right.
We had Tom Brady. Had Odell Beckham Jr. and great Antonio Brown. And,
yeah.
But last year was Patrick Mahomes, so you can't have Patrick Mahomes twice in 2 years, you know? So,
right, sure.
So,
well, I mean, you could.
Yeah.
I mean, you're still going to buy the game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's just, I don't know how, you know, what percentage of sales comes out of Kansas City, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. But to that point, Russell Wilson is number two, you know, and
that is odd.
That is odd that, you know, the third place ranking for QB is on the cover.
I think personally, I was looking through the rankings today, and I went to the EA Sports site, and I didn't like how that was at all because you couldn't sort it by quarterback.
Right.
So, so I went to another site, Sporting News, and my most overrated person, how is J.J. Watt a 98?
You were going right where I was going to go with the defensive rankings, and I don't see how he's a 98 because wasn't he hurt a lot last year?
He's been hurt a lot his whole career.
Yeah, yeah. And I agree totally with Aaron Donald being number one. He's a beast. He is it. But yeah, and to your point, that's one of the reasons I was gonna mention that specifically. Darius Leonard was interviewed on ESPN when they did their Madden 21 rollout. Specifically interviewed for his score of, I think it was 85, and they asked him,
yeah,
you know, what do you think about your score? And he said, well, it sucks.
I don't blame him.
Yeah, yeah. So, but yeah, J.J. Watt being a 98, I don't see it, especially when you've got other players that are up and coming that maybe were not ranked as high as they should be.
How do you feel about Aaron Rodgers being a 98?
Well, those were done pre breakup with Danica. So, I get it. He is a force to be reckoned with. The only thing I can offer on what I looked at with quarterbacks was, you know, they really, I can't see how it can be a 98 and be ranked that low. It's almost like you're trying to get everybody as an honorable mention, right? So,
right.
I love the fact that Drew Brees is ranked higher than Tom Brady.
Me too.
Yeah, yeah. I also, at that same time, you know, I'm a Brees fan. I don't understand how the overall rankings for the teams on Madden 21, how the Saints are number one over everybody else. So,
huh? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Yeah.
They're up there, but I don't know about number one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Over the Chiefs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chiefs are number two.
Chiefs are number three.
Who's number one? Oh, okay. Who's number two? The Chiefs?
Let me check that out real quick here. Hold on. I'm pulling it up.
I mean, you don't have to because I didn't know that.
It goes, here's the ranking, top 10 rankings for the teams.
Okay.
One is Saints, two is Niners.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yep. Three is Chiefs, four is Ravens, and then five is Packers. So that's where Rodgers comes back in to bring it back.
The Packers are fifth?
Yes.
That's no. Sorry.
Well, Cowboys are six. Cowboys are six. So.
Yeah. That's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7, 8. Just do the top 10.
Yep. Yep. 7 is Seahawks.
Okay.
8 are the Bucks.
Okay. I'll give you that.
I mean, Brady's going to have a ton of weapons. So.
Yes, he is.
9 is Eagles, and this is one I did not agree with. That's why I pulled it out, because I was going to call this out specifically. Mm-hmm. Steelers are 10.
I thought my Redskins should be number 10, baby.
And Ricky T is back.
Yay. Yay.
For now.
Yeah. I was looking over the Redskins, and I got Redskins on the brain. I was looking over the running backs, and I agree with McCafferty for now.
Yep.
But Todd Gurley was hit and miss last year, but Melvin Gordon isn't on there at all. And you've got Kamara at an 88. And I'm like, what?
Well, there were two. One was called out on ESPN. Saquon Barkley is a 6.
Right, which is no, that's too low.
Yep, and the one that I specifically was looking at that really didn't make much sense to me. Well, your Melvin Gordon is number 20, but I am a Purdue homer, so
yes, you are.
With the and ranked 19th. So if that team is team in the league. You know, not at least in the top 15.
Yeah, I don't understand that. The wide receivers are probably the ones that I agree with the most. Michael Thomas of the Saints, 99, yes. DeAndre Hopkins of the Cardinals, yes. I think Tyreek Hill, the Chiefs, can switch with Julio Jones. I think Davante Adams is a little high.
I agree with that. I agree with that.
So,
I think Odell Beckham at 9 is a little high.
yeah, I'm not an ODB guy either.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah. But also at number 11, Adam Thielen, my fantasy team a couple of years ago was called. We'll see.
The tight ends are pretty straightforward. George Kittle. Oh, that's high. That's high.
He's coming off injury. We'll see.
The tight ends, Greg Kittle and Travis Kelce, you can interchange those guys either way. I like both of those guys a lot. Gronk hasn't played in a year. Is he really a 95?
I'm going to have to wait to see, because with the team that they're going to be on, yes, he's been off a year. He's rusty. Plus, they have weapons. You know, they've got a lot of weapons. So is he going to share it more? That remains to be seen. They probably put a 95 with an asterisk that says, you know, this is what he was maybe 2 years ago. Went to that point. One of the things I want to point out is. I don't know if this is new in 21 because I'm not a gamer, you know, big time gamer, but the ability to have players adjusted throughout the season is going to occur this year. In other words, if you know, Patrick Mahomes breaks his leg week one, he's out for the season, he's no longer 99. So they'll make an adjustment for that throughout the season.
Well, they kind of do that right now with the updates anyway on your phone. I play it on my phone. So, what do you, and here's the down part of the NFL. What do you guys think about the 72 players that tested positive for the virus? What do you guys think about that?
We're going to see more of it. Yep. I mean, that's where we're at.
Yep, it's going to happen, man. Nothing you can do.
Well, actually, there is something they should be doing, but they won't. They won't redesign the uniforms, and they won't pay the money to redesign the helmets. So you could do that. So there's no skin showing at all.
I mean, they could do that as far as the games are concerned for safety. I agree. That'd be a great idea. They need to do it.
Yeah.
Goodell always talks about everything he does is for player safety, but he wants to go to 18 games where there's more games to get injured, et cetera. So I don't buy that BS. But
no.
But as far as the number of COVID cases, there's really not a whole lot you can do about that part of it. We just got to play it out. That's my opinion.
I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree with you. I mean, Goodell doesn't care about the players. He cares about the owners. He works for the 32 owners.
Absolutely.
And that's all there is to it, period. Yep. So, and that's what happened with the preseason. Well, the owners didn't want the four-game preseason. They've been talking about getting rid of those forever. So that plays right into the hand of the owners. So I don't know. What do you think, Rob?
Yeah. And the perspective I'm coming to this from is more, for the last 20 years plus, I've been a fantasy football
guy. Me too.
You know?
Me too.
And irony, I got the contact from my league manager last night, and I don't know what to tell him. You know, it's like, I don't want to mess with an injury report for fantasy. That's not fun.
No.
And I don't want to expect whatever they're saying right now to be a quote regular season to remain. And yeah, there are things that could be mitigated and done for player safety and for the owner's pockets. But I just don't see it this year. I just don't. So I do expect more COVID cases, and We'll see how that plays out. But, you know, as far as being a fan, I bring it back to Madden 21. That may be the surest bet we have as far as having, you know, Madden leagues instead of fantasy football to have some semblance of consistency.
Right. Ricky T., while we have you, please tell us the history of the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, let's do that. And before we do that, if you don't mind, I'm going to rant for a moment. As it relates to the current, what looks like the name change is going to happen, give me a moment to rant on why I believe the reasoning for it is totally illegit. I obviously, you know, this would be my 44th season as a Redskins fan. Became a Redskins fan as a little boy, was in like first or second grade. You know, Redskins backgrounds on my iPhones, on my computer, I got passwords that are Redskins. It's been everything, you know, it's like my life kind of. And now they're going to be changing the name, and so no matter the reason, I would be disappointed. But if it was a situation where they're saying, we've basically been terrible for 20 years, we just fired all of our coaches, brought in a new coaching staff, we just fired our entire front office, which they did, and brought in new people, we've got this sex scandal going on right now. All those people have been fired. Let's just totally rebrand. Let's change the name. Let's change everything and rebrand.
Right.
That would make sense, right? I could maybe get on that. But when you look at the real reason why they're doing it, which really the Redskins situation is just a microcosm of the bigger picture of what's going on in our country right now with the cancel culture, with the social justice warriors, these people have no clue why they want to get rid of this name. They have no clue of the history. They have no connection to the team. Most likely, they're not even football fans. So it just doesn't make sense. And then when you look at the history, first let's talk about the history of the name. Then I'll talk a little bit more about the history of the logo.
Okay.
And full disclosure, just so you guys know, been having a little bit of some Wi-Fi issues. I was up in my office, had my desktop up, had some information in front of my face as far as dates, etc. I had to bunker down in the basement. It's funny that the Wi-Fi is working better in the basement than it is on my main floor, but it is. So,
okay.
I'm going to give you some info, but I may not have all of the exact stats. But
that's
so,
fine.
So the name. People say it's racist. They say it's a slur. But if you know the actual history, it has nothing at all to do with any type of ethnicity. It has nothing to do with skin color. And you say, Rick, how could that be? It actually has the word a color and the word skin in it. How could it not have anything to do with skin color? Let me explain. So historically, back in the day when we were first, you know, expanding the country, the Europeans came over, the Native Americans were already here. The Native American tribes used different colors to represent different situations. So one example would be black. Whenever there was a ceremony for mourning, black was the color. They would wear black. They would put black paint on their bodies. And that's what they would do during that ceremony.
Okay.
Well, it just so happens the color of war, the color of battle, was red.
Was red. That means, I've heard that.
So whenever they would go into battle, first of all, the chief of the tribe chose who his warriors were. That was the highest honor in the tribe, to be considered a warrior to go into battle for your tribe.
Right.
And these guys would be designated as a warrior, and they would go into battle against the white man at the time. And in many cases, what a lot of people don't know is tribes were fighting tribes before the white man even got here.
Right, yes, that's correct.
But nevertheless, before they would go in battle, they would put this red paint all over their face and on their bodies, on their chest, legs, etc. So when you saw, when the white man saw this big group of Native warriors charging towards them on their horses, and they saw these guys all covered in red paint on their skin, you have red paint on the skin, red skins. That's where it comes from.
Okay.
The red paint on the skin when they would go into battle against the white man who would come to, you know, as they say, steal their land.
So certainly.
That's the history of how the name came to be. So it had nothing to do with actual race, anything ethnic. It had to do with the color of paint they put on their body when they went into battle.
Well, Ricky, that's interesting that you bring that up because I'm originally from Anderson. And dang, my high school is the Anderson Indians.
Yep.
There's the Cleveland Indians. There's the Kansas City Chiefs. So, you know, I mean, I get the argument and I don't get the argument. So, but what you're saying makes sense. And let's not forget that the Washington Redskins came around in 1920. So it wasn't an issue in 1920.
Actually, they became the Redskins in 1933.
Okay.
They were actually in Boston before they were in D.C. They were the Boston Braves. They changed the name to the Redskins in 1933 to honor their coach, who was a Native American.
Okay.
His last name was Dietz, D-I-E-T-Z. I believe he was a Sioux Indian. So the name was actually created honor their coach. They also had other Native American players on the team that were being honored as well, but it was primarily their coach who was a Native American, and they named it Redskins to honor him.
I did not know that. That's fascinating.
Yes,
that's
sir.
Fascinating.
And then you fast forward to 1972.
Right.
1972 is the year that they established their current logo. That has the red skin, like the Indian head with the feathers and then the yellow circle around it.
The profile picture.
Correct. That was created on special request by a Blackfoot Indian. And I'm not up there yet. I had his name. I had it on my screen. I forget his name, but he was a Blackfoot Indian. He was also the chairman of the American Indian Foundation, and he specifically requested that they change their logo to a Native American head, and actually that logo is his likeness.
I see.
So
that's interesting.
Both the name and the logo were created to honor and by the request of Native Americans.
Hey Rick, I got a question now that I understand even more about it, and I understood part of that, but some of the talk has been with the name change, the logo change, and things like that. It sounds like that there's a history here to stay true to that, you know, to stay true to that. And one of the names that have been thrown out is either Washington Code Talkers or Washington Wind Talkers for the Navajo that helped in World War II. You know, that it was a code that the Axis powers could not right. break. You know, would you be okay with that?
Number one, the Navajos mm-hmm. have backed off and have taken that request off the table.
Okay.
Number two, if they're going to change it to some other type of Native American imagery, then why are they changing it all at all?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that would be my answer to that. If you're going to change it, you know, totally change it to something totally unrelated to Native Americans and move on. Having yeah. said that, the day they're officially no longer the Redskins, I will no longer be a fan of the team in Washington, D.C.
Well, I may, you know, with the Oakland Raiders moving to Las Vegas, I had that dilemma as well. So I decided to stay with them, but I wasn't happy with the choice either.
Yep.
So
I saw a Lincoln the other day, and I thought of you, Joe. It had a Raiders logo on the back window,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, wow, they're all over the place.
they're worldwide. Yeah.
Yeah.
And real quickly, before we get off of the Redskins, I will note one more thing. In poll after poll, 90% of Native Americans approve the name. If you go on to most any Native American reservation, most of them mm-hmm. are wearing Redskins gear. They even interviewed a Native American who stated that the Native American people are becoming a forgotten people, and the fact that a major sports team and a major market, our nation's capital, being
right.
You know, a resemblance of Native American imagery, keeps them from being completely forgotten. So it seems sure. like the wrong people are leading the charge to do this, and I really right. wish the owner would just stick up for himself and tell him to stick it where the sun doesn't shine and and just move on. You know.
To that point, Rick, it is, to me, in my opinion, it is pointless, because I remember a long time ago, I think I just got out of undergrad, I watched a team named the Washington Bullets play the yeah. Indiana Pacers.
You'll call them the Bullets, and, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Well, they're the Washington Baltimore Wizards too. Now. Yeah, yeah. And the thing is, I don't know that the crime rate in Washington, D.C. has dropped very much.
No, I don't think it has either.
That's funny. So, that's funny.
It's cosmetic. It's cosmetic, and that's my take.
You're right.
Ricky, do you have your top 10 Redskins of all time?
Here's the deal, man. We've got 88 years of tradition.
Yeah.
So to say knock it down to 10 people, I just can't do that. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to throw out some names.
Great.
And they'll be all. I'll be seeing plays in my head as I say these names, just from all the wonderful memories from my childhood. But so, and you'll be able to tell my age and when I was an adolescent and teenager based on the names I give you.
Okay.
I was always a huge Joe Theismann fan.
Oh, sure.
He was the quarterback, and I really became a big fan. He took him to two Super Bowls. They won one of them. Obviously, yeah, I know. The Raiders beat him in one.
Yeah, that was the Jack Skyrick pick.
The pick touchdown. Right before halftime. There was a great story about that. Joe Theismann called timeout because he didn't like the play call from Joe Gibbs. The
right.
whole timeout, they argued over the play call. Joe Gibbs right. didn't know this is the play we're running. They ran it, and it was picked off for a touchdown last play before halftime, and that was pretty much the game.
Jack Skyrick, correct, for six.
Can I ask a question there? Because when I was mentioning with my parents this past weekend, kind of, you know, that this podcast was going to be happening, and kind of, you know, where we were going to be going with the best Redskins of all time, my mom volunteered, you know, she loves Peyton Manning, but outside of that, it kind of shocked me. She said they had one of the best coaches of all time, and she said, I can't remember his name. I said, right. Joe Gibbs. And so would you say he's still one of the best coaches of all time?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt.
I would say so. And then he went on to NASCAR and won multiple championships in NASCAR.
Yes, he did.
He's just a winner.
Yeah.
He's just a straight up winner. So, but back to the players, you know, after Theismann, you've obviously got John Riggins, who executed my favorite play in all of football history. That would be the Super Bowl against the Miami Dolphins. You guys know the play.
He steamrolled them.
He did. He really did. When you talk Redskins, you can't do it without talking about Mr. Redskin himself, the all-time greatest Redskin. That's Darryl Green.
Yes.
Also on the defense, you got to love Dexter Manley.
Oh, yeah. He's
quite
great.
A character, and he was a sack leader.
Yep.
You have Art Monk. There's not been a more sure-handed receiver. He might have not got a lot of yards after the catch, but if you threw it to him, you knew he was going to catch it.
That's correct.
You got to talk about Russ Grimm and Joe Jacoby, the two main hogs. You got those two guys. And then if you want to go way back, and Robert will enjoy this because he was a Purdue guy, you got Dave Butts. I mean, he was great before his time. And then if I just had to name a few more recent Redskins, you know, in the Dan Snyder era, which is the era when they've been terrible and totally mismanaged. You know, guys, I enjoyed watching, and I felt sorry they couldn't be on a team that was going to be a winner. You got Clinton Portis. You got Sam Moss. You got Chris Cooley. and then, of course, Sean Taylor. Who knows
Sean Taylor would have been.
Oh, yeah. He only had like 3 years, and then he tragically was shot to death. So, so that's probably a few more than 10, but those would be my guys. And actually, you guys may not know this, but actually Mark Moseley, a kicker, won MVP of the league 1 year.
That's correct.
1982, correct. I believe.
I vaguely remember that.
How did the kicker win MVP of the league? But he did it.
Rob, do you have your list?
Of the top 10 Redskins?
Yes.
There was, I believe, Darryl Green.
Yes.
And these are add-ons. These are add-ons to Rick. So, Rick part two, and it won't be a full 10.
Okay.
I'm throwing this one out there because I think Rick called it honorable mention. What about RG3?
I'm wearing my RG3 shirt.
Oh, that's funny.
Not so much.
Not so much. Okay. even if he was with a better team and.
No. Too fragile and too much in love with himself.
Okay.
Let me just tell you something. He literally went into the locker room at the end of his rookie season with the playbook, dropped it in front of Mike Shanahan, a potential Hall of Fame coach, and said, I've separated these by which plays I will run and which plays I will not run next year.
Do you guys want to know my Mike Shanahan story with the Raiders and Al Davis?
I'd love to hear it.
Mike Shanahan was the coach of the Raiders, I want to say, after Marcus Allen ran all over the Redskins in 83. And he had a big disagreement with Al, and Al ended up firing him after 6 games, and he ended up coaching with the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. He never got paid for those 6 games. So that's why he would go beat the Raiders every time with Elway.
I knew there would have been a lawsuit, but I didn't remember how that ended.
Yep. I've got some Redskins that are on you guys' list, actually.
I'd love to hear your list.
I'm going to add one, though.
Okay.
I'm going to add one, though. I don't know that I heard it. Trent Williams.
I'm going all the way back. Ken Houston.
Yep. Thank you.
Ken Houston. Ken Houston used to. And then Sonny Jurgensen.
Not bad.
And my number two is Sammy Baugh.
Slinging Sammy, number 33.
And my number one was a cheat button, Vince Lombardi.
He was a coach for 1 year, so I don't really count that one.
Well, he died of cancer, so.
Yeah.
Oh, I just figured one out.
Yeah.
It's not ranked up there, but there are two in the recent, I mean, relatively recent, Fred Smoot and Brian Arakpo. You know, would they be honorable mentions?
Let me tell you something about Fred Smoot. Fred Smoot now does post-game show for the Redskins radio.
Okay.
Even if you're not a Redskins fan, you need to listen to the post-game show because he is hilarious.
Nice.
He's a smack talker big time.
I always liked watching Brian Racco.
He just had too many injuries, and for some reason he left the Redskins and didn't get an injury again. That's kind of weird.
Yeah. Well, but when he was there, that's when I was like, the Colts need him. You know, that was my take on that. So
I'm with you.
Gentlemen, what's your thoughts on the NBA right now? Because my thoughts on the NBA is I'm kind of done. I really don't care.
Yeah, my take is I've never, well, since the Larry Bird Magic Johnson era, I've never been a real big NBA fan to begin with.
Okay.
You know, I'm a big guy. I played basketball from age 6 all the way into high school. I believe in playing basketball the traditional way God intended basketball to be played. And that's not the NBA. Going to an NBA game is fun. Not necessarily because of the game, but I will say the NBA does an excellent job of putting on great entertainment and a great show.
Right.
But the basketball, I'm with you. You know, if the Pacers make the playoffs, I'll probably watch it because they're the hometown team. But I would just rather watch, you know, Big Ten basketball, quite honestly.
And see, I can't even do that because I don't have the Big Ten network. Man, so I'm not going to pay $100
it's all about money
to get that. Oh, I agree. Which brings me to my next point. Have you guys seen The Last Dance on with the Michael Jordan story?
I have not.
I have not, but I will. I know that you and I talked a little bit about. See, but during that whole era, I was, you know, I was with the team that was never the bride in the Indiana Pacers. So, I'd like to watch that and see that from that angle.
Well, it's on Netflix now, so they talk in depth about. You know, everybody knows about Michael Jordan, but see, here's the story. The reason why everybody knows the Michael Jordan story, that's pretty straightforward, unless you didn't know that he didn't make high school until his junior year there in North Carolina. You know, maybe you didn't know that, so that's fine. But the main story about this documentary and what makes it so great is, hello, it's so great because it's sports journalism. Nobody's doing sports journalism anymore.
Nope. Right. They're not.
Right.
So.
Well, and to that point, and I'll maybe take this off the rails a little bit.
That's fine.
It's been invaded by where we are right now, which is it's not about the sports. It's about everything but the sports. And you know, that whole, you know, and yeah, hearing you say that you've seen it, and that is true to what sports journalism should be.
Right.
I don't care about what current movement or anything like that that's going on. When I watch sports, I want to watch sports because that's been the great, you know, catharsis to get away from everyday life, where it's people competing because they're talented, they have God-given talent, and they're, you know. It's outside of the realm of all the rest of the stuff. So I agree that, you know, I hardly watch ESPN anymore. Well, one, there's no sports, but, you know, I was not watching ESPN long before this. So,
right.
But the
first episode is about, you know, Michael Jordan carrying the Bulls. He didn't really have a good team around him. And then the second one was really good. It's about the story of Scottie Pippen and why they bring Bill Clinton on there. I'm like, really? You're from Arkansas and you know sports and music, but I don't care about your opinion. So
yeah.
So he was on the documentary for John Coltrane, and I'm like, I don't care about your opinion about John Coltrane. I don't.
Right.
Just because you play the saxophone, I don't care. The third one was about Dennis Rodman, which.
I love Dennis Rodman. I always have.
Me too.
I do too. And when I played church basketball, I played defense, rebounded, and got assists, and I would get some garbage buckets. That's kind of it. So,
yep, that's where I was. I was defense, and I was get the ball.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then they did an in-depth episode about Phil Jackson, and that was fascinating about his time with the Knicks and how he won the. He was part of the 1970 championship team with the Knicks. So, but yeah, I know you guys like sports history, so you guys would like it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's good, and I'll definitely look it up. The thing about Phil Jackson is that what I remember during that time was, you know, he went from the Bulls to Los Angeles,
right.
And Joe, I think you're a Los Angeles guy.
Yes.
You know, how did he in that era have the ability to pick and choose players now versus it seems like players are doing that themselves and choosing where they go? Does that sound true or not?
Well, who's the coach that coaches the Pacers and now coaches the Lakers? I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Oh yeah. Vogel.
Yeah. Well, it's become such a player-driven league that a player can get a coach fired. So what? And I don't know if you guys know anything about Jerry Krause, but he was the general manager of the Bulls, and he was a straight-up villain. He's scum-sucking bottom dweller. So, you know, he told Phil Jackson, he said, this is your last year you're going to be coaching the team. You have Michael Jordan, the best player in basketball, and he says, "This is the last year you're going to be coaching the team." And I'm like, "That's dumb."
I remember seeing a piece on that. Yeah, they were not, they did not get along. Yeah,
no. So, but you know, they get into Phil Jackson's Native American background, and he brought that to the Bulls to help them play as one team instead of individuals, which. And they talk about the triangle offense and Tex Winters, and it's really good. If you're a basketball person, it's really good.
Well, and I am being from Indiana, and not just from Indiana, but the farm my parents live on right now. My mom gets upset because about a mile west of their house, there's a plaque that says AMO, Indiana, home of Arthur Trester. And the Trester Award is given to the best, you know,
academic star
in Indiana. Yeah. He actually grew up on our property.
No way.
I mean, yeah. Years ago, there was a town called Pecksburg, and she's like, that plaque needs to be in my front yard. So, yeah.
That's hilarious.
So, I understand the history, and I love Indiana basketball. Yep,
because me personally, I hated the Bulls because I'm a huge Pacers guy. So I hated the Bulls and playing them, you know, 1,000 times a year.
Yeah.
You know, and then getting beat in the playoffs by them. But
And Jordan was so popular. You know, I'm one of those guys. He was so popular, I didn't like him because everybody else did.
Right, me too.
I
was the Dr. J guy.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid. It's kind of a stupid way of looking at things, but
no, I was the same way. I was the Dr. J guy, and I'm like, well, so
I remember sitting in that same house where my parents are now in 1998, watching Game 5 Pacers Bulls when Reggie drained a three to send it into. 6 or 7. I can't remember the details on that.
Right.
But we almost blew the roof off that house because yeah, that's what it was then.
Right.
It was fun. It was fun then.
Ricky, how did you become a Pacers fan?
I mean, I'm born here, so
no, what was the event that made you a Pacers fan?
I can't say there's one event necessarily. I know I went to a few games. As a little kid, you remember a center named James Edwards? I remember him.
Oh, of course. He played with the Pistons and won 2 titles.
Yeah, Vern Fleming, those guys.
Sure. Yeah, sure.
When I first started watching them, I'd even, you know, I played basketball, and my dad was my coach for a while, so we even had a scorebook. I'd listen on the radio and score the game in the scorebook.
Wow.
I was just, you know, I've always been a guy that likes data, and I did the same way with the Cincinnati Reds in baseball.
Oh, Me too. I met Rose and George Foster a couple years ago. That was that was fantastic.
Yep.
Rob, how did you become a Patriots fan?
Yep, and you just said a name or two there, Rick. That was that for me, because the year that I think the coach was George McLeod, early to mid 80s.
Yeah.
And Vern Fleming had signed up with the Pacers around that time. So it was early to mid 80s. My mother was working to get her insurance license, and she was taking classes in Lafayette, Indiana. And the Pacers were working out there then during that week or two.
Nice.
They ran into each other. And basically, they invited her and her team to come watch a practice, go to dinner. It's all paid for. And so when it was all over, on napkins, Vern Fleming, Dwayne 44 McLean of the Villanova team.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sure.
And Quinn Buckner all gave me their autographs. So nice. I got them here. That's excellent. Somewhere.
Quinn Buckner's all over this Last Dance.
Yeah, good.
He's all
good.
Over,
and
that.
He should be. He's I'm hoping I can find him. I don't know where they're at, but I gotta find him.
my story, which I've said a couple times, I met when I was 10 years old. I bet my dad took me to go see Billy Knight at the Athletic Attic in Anderson, and he gave me autographed 8x10 of him. And nice. Ever since, now, what do you guys remember about seeing games at Market Square, basketball games?
What I remember is buying cheap seats, and it was always so empty. You buy cheap seats, and about halfway through the first quarter, you move down to the box seats because they were empty. That's what I remember about it. Also, somewhere in my parents' house, you remember those orange and yellow seat covers on the seats?
Right.
My brother and I stole one. I don't know how we got it past all the security guards and police, but we got it out there. It got it in my brother's 72 Dodge Dart Sport and got it home and still at my parents' house somewhere.
Nice.
Rob?
Yeah, no, that's good. And I can't remember if this was something through maybe my mom's teacher's union, or if this was like an added on from when she was there in Lafayette, but the only game I got to see Larry Bird play, we were in the cheap seats. And at that time, it wasn't about going to watch the Pacers. It was about going to watch Larry Bird. Yep. So what Rick was talking about, where the seats down below clear out, they didn't
that day. Yeah, I saw Larry Bird once in a playoff game. And you're right.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. Awesome.
There were more people in 33 jerseys than they were in Pacer jerseys.
Oh, I believe that. I believe that.
Exactly.
My first memory of Market Square, I don't know, 12 or 13. If you were up really high and you look down, it's a straight drop.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
It was a straight. I thought it was going to fall to my doom if I let go of that handrail. So, you know, we always sat up high. But the other thing we did, went to a couple Pacer games. The Pacers played the Pistons a couple times at the Wigwam in Anderson. And then saw my dad took me and my brother, Ben, to when the Anderson Indians made the Final Four at Market Square, we would see those games. And then if the Anderson Indians made the All-State team, we would go see that game against Kentucky. And those were fun. So
I've got a couple more real quick.
Sure.
If I can do it.
Go ahead.
Best seats I've ever had in my life. Fourth row, center court. A buddy of mine at the time, he sold sports memorabilia, and he knew the operator of the scoreboard, so he got his tickets.
Yeah.
And we're sitting there, and that's the game I watched with Washington Bullets, and there was a 7'7" guy for them, and I can't remember his name.
Manute Bull?
Manute Bull, yeah.
No, it wasn't Manute.
You're talking about the Russian guy?
Russian or East European, yeah. And he wouldn't run. He walked court to court, you know, end of each court, and the play just kept kind of going. He wouldn't actually run through the game, but by the time he would get to the other end, everybody was done and they were moving back. So that was kind of fun to see up close and personal, because Reggie was in that game.
Nice. So. Nice.
Yeah, that's the best one, I would say.
Okay, so guys, your top five Pacers of all time.
Oh, wow. Robert, if you want to go, I got to think about this one for a minute.
Yeah, obviously Reggie Miller. When he retired, I cried. So, but it's because he stayed with that team his whole entire time. So,
right.
I don't know if I can do top five.
Okay, top three. That's fine.
Are we talking are we talking ABA and NBA?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm going to say Bobby Slick Leonard, best coach.
Yeah, sure.
In the ABA.
Yeah.
Let's see. Who else? I liked both of the Davises during that time.
Davis brothers, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And Rick Smits, and I'll leave it at that. Oh, that, I mean, that team, yeah, that's really team. Where – Yeah, where they went to LA and got beat, yes.
Yeah. You ready,
man,
Ricky?
I wasn't prepared for this. If I would have been prepared, I would more. You just threw this on me.
I could go. No, I could go.
I mentioned Vern Fleming earlier. For some reason, I always liked him. I just thought he was always, he was always there. He always played hard. So I liked him. George McGinnis.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he was great. I was a little boy back then.
Me too.
And Robert mentioned it. Dale Davis. I love Dale Davis. I love his style.
Yeah.
Trying to think of some others. Ditloff Shrimp. Remember him? I liked him a lot.
Yeah, he was great.
The Threat.
Went to the Sonics.
And then a Pacer I love to hate. If you want me to throw one out,
of course. Go ahead.
Chuck Perkins. He was an a-hole.
That's funny.
If you want,
if you want to hear a
quick Chuck Perkins story, and forgive me for my slight language here. Me and my brother, teenagers, we get to the game real early. They're warming up,
so we walk up to the
front, and my brother is known to have a big mouth. No matter where we go, I should be dead because of him, and. Chuck Perkins called my brother a fat ass.
Okay.
The rifleman.
Fine. That's fine. As long as you don't say the F bomb, that's fine. So
just a funny little story.
Yeah, well, he was not the fan friendly guy.
He was not.
So
and I'll include anybody that was an instigator in the Detroit brawl, Steven Jackson, all of those now.
Well, see,
that's when the Pacers, I think, veered off.
Do you want to know the story of that?
Yeah.
That happened a couple years ago before that. You guys remember that Artest played. Okay, this is interesting. The rumor, and I can't back this up. The rumor was, you guys remember where Artest started, correct?
Oh, he was someplace else before the Pacers, right?
Yeah. Artest started out in Chicago.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. So the rumor was, and he had anger management issues in Chicago, but nobody knew about it. So supposedly Artest and Jordan were playing basketball outside on a concrete court, and supposedly Artest got ticked off at Jordan and picked him up and body slammed him on the concrete court.
Ouch.
And Larry knew about it, and Donnie knew about it, and sent him to the Pacers anyway for Brad who? They traded him for Brad somebody.
I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah. So they knew.
The rest is history.
Yeah. There you go. So the infamous beer dump there. But you do you remember what Al Harrington said about that?
I do not.
Okay. Al Harrington said that would have never happened if he was still. He got traded away in 2006, I think. Mm-hmm. Al Harrington said that would have never happened because I would have been, he would have been in the, there was like 30 seconds on the clock when all that went down with Ben Wallace.
Yep.
He said Al Harrington would have been in the game and Artest would have been on the bench. He would have never sat on the scoreboard.
Huh.
So.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Another one recently is Roy Hibbert. I know a little bit about him, and he helped a friend of mine propose to his wife, and he was a really good guy. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. The Pacers have done so much off the court for the community that doesn't get recognized.
Yeah. Yep.
But yeah.
Yeah.
So. This broadcast is brought to you by the letter R for Rescue, Joshua 1:5-8, Psalm 91, and 1 Peter 5-7. And we're all praying to the Lord to squash this nasty flu bug already. So I'm Joe Carney for Rob and Ricky T, and this is Indy's Local Flavor, and I'll see you next time.
And hail to the Redskins, baby.